to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. In this half hour, we are joined by our good friend. It's been a minute since I think we had you on, but Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area, a weekly opinion column on news and politics in Milwaukee, is here, and we're so happy about it. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Dan.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're surviving over here in the Shaw. We were saying this morning, we just missed Governor Evers was here earlier today, and we missed out on seeing him. But doing his
it's a busy place, the Shaw.
It's a busy place. Busy, busy. This is your home. No, Pewaukee is where you grew up, right? But close enough.
Yeah, Pewaukee is my hometown, but very close to Waukesha. Spent a lot of time downtown Waukesha.
Was that like the hangout spot as a teenager? Just like.
Was it
the mall?
One place. There was a coffee. This is, you know, early 2000s. There was a coffee shop called Sprizzo that we would go to for open mic every Friday night on downtown Waukesha. So that was our high school hang.
Would you perform at the open mic?
I did a couple times.
Music?
Yeah.
Stand up?
Yeah.
Poetry?
Yeah.
Music, okay.
Music, yeah. I was actually in a band in high school. We played a couple shows around downtown Waukesha too. But I was I mostly like played guitar and bass with my friends' bands, or like for my sister who was a very good singer and stuff like that.
We have to know the name of the band.
The band is called Capital Drive. We did name it after the road, which came to an end in our hometown of Pewaukee. So that's the name of the band. Yep.
Solid. Is there video evidence of this anywhere that exists?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does exist. We do have a couple songs that our drummer put on Spotify. So you can check it out.
I feel like you need to play that at your next event. You need to play. That's like the cherry on top of coming to see County Executive David Crowley is also see Dan Schaefer play the bass in 2003.
Video of the Pewaukee High School Battle of the Bands from 2003. Should we have that as our next, instead of screening another Bucks game for the next Recombobulation Area event? We get between early 2000s various suburban battles of the band.
I'm sure it's just as entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, all right. Well, so you recently interviewed Budget Director Nick Kovac, who recently left his position as an alderman in Milwaukee and joined City mm-hmm. Hall. And it's no secret that Milwaukee has a pending budget problem for a variety of different reasons, but you recently both interviewed him on Connect MKE on CW18 and My24, but then also wrote an article based on that interview. And basically the quote that you put in the title was, "There will be cuts everywhere." And all I could think of was Daniel Day-Lewis saying, "There will be blood." So how bad is it?
So I think, you know, we're so caught up in campaign season right now that some of these other very important political stories can sometimes fly under the radar. And Mayor Cavalier Johnson is presenting his first budget as mayor to the Common Council a week from today. And so as Kovac told me, as a member of Johnson's administration, you know, there's going to be cuts everywhere to the budget, which is it's not great, Kristen. It's not great. Milwaukee is already an underfunded city in a lot of ways. And, you know, as Kovac broke down in our interview, the two main reasons that the budget will be facing cuts are because declines in state shared revenue, which puts about $150 million hole in the budget. And there's an anticipated somewhat pronounced problem with the city's pension that they're not expecting the same returns on it. So that's going to create another budget gap. And as the Journal Sentinel reported a year ago about that anticipated spike in the city's pension contribution, that could lead to a quarter of the city's workforce, 1,300 people, losing their jobs. And so that is the kind of the cliff that people were looking to in 2025. When Mayor Tom Barrett introduced his 2022 budget a year ago, he said that this was in many ways the calm before the storm. And when I talked to Kovac last week, he said this storm is here. So they're starting those cuts now. Cuts will include cuts to police, fire, public works, a lot of essential services, that, you know, keep the city running. So it's going to be a challenging budget session for the city.
And are there, so you just laid out the two big reasons, which is the state shared revenue, and the cuts to that, and then the city's pension problem. Mm-hmm. Are there potential solutions that are within the control of the city and wouldn't need help from the state level? Is there, I mean, besides property? I mean, because basically the way I understand it is that the limitations right now, it's basically fees and licenses and property tax are like the main like levers to control city revenue. And right. Are there other creative ways that doesn't take the state legislature to vote on for the city to raise more money in what you've, the reporting that you've done?
Yeah, the city is really, really limited when it comes to revenue. So it needs the state legislature's permission in many ways to do things like raise a local sales tax or even even change various equations when it comes to property taxes and things like that. So it's the city is not really able to raise new revenue without partnering with the state. And the state has steadfastly refused to work with the state or work with the city, work with the county for new revenue, and has refused to re-examine the state shared revenue formula that is basically cutting $150 million every year from the city of Milwaukee's budget. So the only option that the city, and this is a problem not just the city of Milwaukee's facing, I think municipalities across the state are feeling this crunch. You're seeing a lot of, you know, local referenda and things like that where people are voting for various services. We just saw a story yesterday that Waukesha County is cutting its sheriff's budget. So this is not just a problem that is exclusive to Milwaukee. It is one that's being felt across the state in municipalities as the state the state legislature is sitting at a $5 billion surplus, and cities and towns across the state are having to cut basic services. It's a broken system. It's a broken system that, frankly, legislative Republicans broke.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer, who's the founder of the Recompopulation Area, which is a weekly opinion column on news and politics in Milwaukee. And it's interesting because who's actually the party of defunding the police? When you think about it's at the municipality level that is where the funding of police comes from. And if Milwaukee and other cities aren't getting a very fair share of shared revenue from the state, and thus the cuts have to happen in first responders, in police budgets, who's actually responsible for that?
It's Robin Voss. Robin Voss is chiefly responsible for any defunding of police in Wisconsin towns like and cities like Milwaukee. And it's happened repeatedly. I mean, Tom Barrett had in you know, every budget cycle that during his tenure, especially the back half of his tenure as the mayor of Milwaukee, said, hey, let's raise a local sales tax, we'll fund public safety. He said that in 2015, 2017, 2019. And the legislature over and over again refused to even say that Milwaukee would have the option to go to the polls and vote on whether they would have a sales tax. They wouldn't even allow the city to have that freedom to make its own decisions on how revenue is collected in the city. So, you know, the when you pay your taxes, sales and income tax goes to the state. the state sends some of it back through shared revenue, but that shared revenue number has been frozen or cut since the 1990s. And so, and that problem has been exacerbated, absolutely, under the time when Robin Voss has been Assembly Speaker.
So I think we had Bill Glauber on about two weeks ago, and he and Corey Hess over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had talked about very quiet meetings that had happened with Mayor Chevy Johnson, and I think County Executive David Crowley was there as well, with about 20 mm-hmm. different Republican leaders who had come to Milwaukee and had a meeting, I think. And mm-hmm. there wasn't a lot of fanfare or press about it, but it happened. And I think,
right.
I know you've, I was at that event when you interviewed Mayor Johnson in the attempt with this new administration in City Hall to try to have a better relationship with Robin Voss, Devin Lamehugh, the different leadership in Madison, the different Republican leadership in Madison. Have you heard in your reporting or some of your background interviews, is there progress there as far as that relationship being better?
Yeah, I think you know, Cavalier Johnson campaigned on having a reset with the state government. And whether you think it was the city that needed to do the resetting or the legislature that did the resetting is besides the point. But I think, you know, I think the relationship with Tom Barrett had gotten kind of salty and toxic over the years. I think a lot of people look back to when he ran in the 2012 recall as when, you know, it's one thing to run for governor in the normal cycle, but I think when he became the candidate in the recall, that kind of you know, poisoned his standing with a lot of Republicans in Madison. And so, look, there's first new mayor in almost two decades, and David Crowley is still in his first term as county executive too. So I think there's some optimism that there will be a version of a reset, and I think people are starting to understand that these state shared revenue problems are not exclusive to Milwaukee. They're being felt in all over the state. Obviously it's more pronounced in Milwaukee just based on the population numbers. There's about 1 million people in Milwaukee County. But I think there is, you know, I'm not so sure if people are all that optimistic that this reset might happen in the way that some might hope.
You mean the fact that the RNC is coming to Milwaukee isn't going to be a huge win as far as that relationship being mended?
I am going to remain optimistic about this at this point. I think there are a lot of people who are very skeptical, and rightfully so, that any progress can be made from this. But I'm not going to be a doomer about it. You know, I think this is an opportunity with two leaders that I think are bringing some fresh energy to the city with Johnson and with Crowley. And, you know, at tomorrow night's event that the Recombobulation Area is hosting at Anodyne Coffee at 6 p.m., maybe I'll have a chance to ask David Crowley a couple of those questions.
That is a great idea. I think that would be great to hear what David Crowley has to say about that. Well, we're going to keep you through the break. I want to get your take on any hot takes or deep cuts you have on the ongoing campaign, since we are always inundated with that. And then we'll talk more about your event that's happening tomorrow night. So we are joined for this half hour by Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area. We'll take a quick break and be back in just a minute.
Listen here. Now, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest is our very good friend of the show, Dan Schaefer, who is the founder of the Recombobulation Area. So he writes on all things Milwaukee, news and politics, but also the state. And so, as you said, sometimes the conversations that are very important get lost in the mix amongst headlines of big campaigns. But nevertheless, how are you feeling about the big campaigns? and Rojo and Mandela and Tim Michaels and Governor Evers. What are you hearing as far as, I know we have new polls. Poll numbers are coming out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Marquette Law Poll.
Marquette
Law Poll. I will be writing about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so any predictions or what are you hearing that does the headlines don't convey?
Yeah, I think we can start with the Senate race and Johnson and Barnes. And I think, I think we saw in the last poll, Barnes did particularly had a nice bump. He was, came out of the primary in really good shape. He got a little bump after that, as did Michael. So both of the candidates that won their primary had a little bit of a polling bump. But even though Barnes is ahead, I think most national forecasters, prognosticators, what have you, are still making Johnson the favorite in the race. And I think that does seem right. Johnson's going to have a ton of money behind him. We're seeing a lot of ads going after Barnes. So we'll have to see kind of how those have landed over the past month, the attacks on Barnes that we see all the time. But I think we're just going to be in a situation with this race and with both of the races where they're both going to be toss-ups.
Yeah,
I think they're both going to be. We're both going to be in November, on November 8th, not knowing really who's going to be winning either of those races. And so there's still a lot of debate to be had. But I think that I think it's going to be. It's just going to be really close. And I think even if Barnes has a lead in the polls, which maybe he maintains it when the Marquette poll is released tomorrow, I still think Johnson is probably the overall slight favorite, and it's still going to be super, super close.
It's been interesting. I don't watch a ton of just basic cable, and so I don't get as many ads as I think is the average person who's watching a ton of live sports or the local news every night. But I do watch Hulu, and they're all over there. And it's been interesting, and maybe it's just what ads are running where, but how aggressively negative and attacking Ron Johnson's ads are towards Mandela Barnes. Whereas I feel like a lot of the ads I've seen so far, and this is not to say that they're not out there, but this, at least the ones I've seen of Mandela's campaign, Mandela's ads still trying to present him as who he is and being a more positive. I haven't seen that many attack ads paid for by Mandela Barnes towards Ron Johnson, which I think is interesting. And I think seeing a lot of the, it will be, like you said, it will be interesting to see how the polling numbers have been, because I have seen, even as someone who doesn't watch a lot of TV or TV that has ads on it, I already feel overwhelmed with how many negative ads I've seen from Ron Johnson on Mandela Barnes. And also vice versa. I've seen a ton of paid for Governor Evers, by Governor Evers, negative ads on Tim Michaels. And so I feel like those are what I'm seeing the most of is Tim Michaels is too radical, Mandela Barnes is too radical, and those ads from opposite parties on the incumbent candidates. I mean, on the challenger candidates.
Yeah, I think that's part of the strategy is to there weren't as many people in the last Marquette poll who had opinions of Mandela Barnes or Tim Michaels. Like Mandela Barnes, there were still 40% of the people in the Marquette poll who did not yet have an opinion on Barnes. And so I think the strategy obviously has been from Johnson and from the Republican Senate committee that has been running I'll just say my dog starts barking every time one of these ads runs. I'll put it that way.
That's a good way to put it.
But um, But I think, you know, they're trying to let people know, you know, with the attack ads and trying to paint him in this negative light. So that when you get those favorability numbers in the Marquette poll that are very key, that, you know, you see those negatives go up. The negatives are already very high for Ron Johnson. And I think part of one of the interesting polling results that actually came through the Fox News poll that also showed Barnes with a slight lead. The Fox News poll had one section saying, like, which of the two candidates do you view as the more extreme of the options? And there were more people saying that Ron Johnson was the more extreme candidate of the two. And I think the more this race becomes a referendum on Ron Johnson, the more likely Barnes is to win. Because Ron Johnson has such high unfavorability, there are so many things that he has said and done over the years that you could go after him for. I mean, there was just the story today, you know, that one of the strategies from the Democrats in the Senate, and their ads going after Ron Johnson is talking about how he has given his donors, you know, tax breaks that have gone towards his donors. We've seen that over and over again. And there is just a story in The Guardian today with the headline, Republican Senator's Wealth Boosted by Stake in Company with Chinese Links. And so there's a company that Ron Johnson's business did business with that Johnson pushed for more favorable trade agreements, even breaking with the Trump administration on this. So I expect that kind of self-dealing, donor dealing, family dealing, whatever it is, I expect to see a lot of that in the attacks on Johnson.
Absolutely. All right. Well, in the time that we have left, you have an event tomorrow and people should go.
Yes, it's a free event at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. I will be hosting County Executive David Crowley, who is one of the most exciting young leaders in the state of Wisconsin. And he will be he's going to be generous with his time and come talk with me for a little while. And then we will also have an opportunity for audience questions. The event is sponsored by Fix Development and Fourth Dimension Sobriety. And so we'll have some people there from those organizations as well. And you know, you don't always have an opportunity to come sit down, have a nice quiet conversation with the guy who's in charge of a county of about a million people. So it's we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I love the series of events you've been doing between getting these leaders, including Charles Franklin from Marquette Law, law polling, and Chevy Johnson and David Crowley. Like, I love these events that you've been doing. So we will link all of that on the website for people to find more information if they couldn't write it down. Dan Schaefer, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Come back anytime.